Welcome back to Juno Afternoon, made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Joining me in the studio now is Tom Locher and Heather Mitchell. Thanks for coming in to both of you.
Thanks for having us on the air again, Andy.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, Juno Cabaret. And this time around, we're going to be talking about the steamy Peggy Lee.
Yes. Yeah.
That's got to be a lot of fun. That's a fun subject to explore, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's a composer, a lyricist, an interpreter, a performer, she sold millions of records.
I didn't know that she was a composer.
Yeah.
As well. Are some of the songs that we think of as her famous songs ones that she composed?
No.
Okay.
But some are.
Okay.
Some are.
Yeah.
He's a Tramp from the movie Lady and the Tramp and the Siamese Cat song. She wrote those with Sonny Burke, for example. And she wrote some hit songs with her first husband, Dave Barber. And those will be featured in the lecture concert tomorrow at 2:00 at the APK Lecture Hall, Andy. And then again, 6:00 Sunday night.
What? I was going to ask.
Again, 6:00 Sunday night at Mendenhall Valley Library. And we are very pleased to have four great singers with us. Laura Haywood will be providing narration. Clay Good is going to join us on the drums. We're very pleased to have him with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an exploration of Peggy's biography. Laura is going to narrate about her life and contribution. And I'm going to be playing piano and keyboard bass. I'm music director for the lecture concert weekend. It's been really fun preparing the singers and going through these old songs and learning a little bit about the artist's story.
Yeah. When you – you're Heather, you're going to be one of the singers as well as kind of doing a little bit of emceeing and linking acts together a little bit, I understand, right? A little bit of that, maybe?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I usually sing in most of these shows and I usually carry kind of the equal weight. This time around, I actually just came off of a bunch of projects and I asked Tom, I said, can I do a few fewer songs this time?
Okay.
So I'm only going to be doing two.
And the finale.
Yeah, I was going to say two solo songs and then the finale, but they're good ones.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
When I cherry pick those.
when you approach someone like Peggy Lee, I mean, how do you approach that song without trying to sound like you're just trying to imitate in a way? She's got such a strong, mm-hmm. amazingly, immediately identifiable style and sound. And I'm sure you want to reflect some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to bring your own interpretation to it.
Absolutely. And it's always a challenge, I think, with any well-known singer. Times that I've done favorites of Ella or favorites of Dinah Washington or Billie Holiday, it's always a challenge to go how much – you give the nod and the wink, but then you say, okay, let's step off the path a little bit. So I think you'll hear, at least in terms of my interpretations, there'll be certainly homages, but you'll hear a few new things here and there that should keep everybody entertained.
Yeah, right.
One of the things I would say is true of all four singers in the show, Heather Mitchell, who's with us here in the studio, and thank you for singing with us again, Heather.
Oh, yes.
Julie Causey, who's coming down from Haines to sing in the concert weekend. Alyssa Fisher, a veteran of the lecture concert weekends, and then Margot Youngberg, another great singer. All of them have the ability to backphrase strongly, and mm-hmm. that's a technique used in jazz where as the measures are going by 1, 2, 3, 4, the singer doesn't always land right on the 1 or right on the
mm-hmm.
3.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the way the lyrics of the song are phrased with the melody notes, they drag a little bit behind, backphrasing, that's known mm-hmm. as. And I would say all four of these singers are expert backphrasers, and they're going to borrow some of that. The other thing that Peggy Lee was known for is singing softly.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of these singers have the ability to be dynamic, sing soft, sing louder, sing loud. And you'll hear some of that in the concert, all your listeners who are coming this weekend, 2:00 Saturday, 6:00 Sunday.
Andy.
Back to you, Andy.
Yes. Well, when you mentioned that, that's interesting. I, as a person who loves listening to music but is not a musician, I never quite thought about the fact that the reason that she often sounds so sultry and all of that sort of emotion that she brings is because she's just singing pretty softly. right? The mic's turned up a little bit more, and she's just singing in a very soft register. Yeah.
One of the songs in the concert, Please Don't Rush Me, is from an album she did in the 1960s. Laura Haywood and I were talking this morning about that song and that album, and I think when you listen to the lyrics, it might have many, many messages. Might be understood to be, you know, this is a song for the drummer. Don't rush me. You know,
that's how musicians would take it. That's good.
Yeah, and then also just the delivery is very relaxed, and you know the audience waits for that punchline. You know what's coming next.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, I think she gets very conversational. I mean, I think you have this conversational style of singing. Sometimes it's sultry and sensual. Like, you know, you can tell the weight behind what that intimate conversation is. Sometimes it's simply just being up close and in a quiet moment sort of sharing, you know, what she's feeling. So, you know, you can sing, speak, you can whisper, you can do a lot. And as any singing teacher or any acting teacher will tell you, you can deliver an immense amount of intensity and energy at almost no volume.
Yeah.
It's all about intention.
When I think about her songs, at least the famous ones that I'm really familiar with, there's always an element of humor to to her songs as well, whether they're ones she wrote or ones that she interpreted. She was always able to bring that in, almost playing off of how overtly sensual and those kinds of things that she was being. You know, that was a really key element to it as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I wondered, is there a way – I always think that's really interesting, Tom, to talk to you about how you interpret these songs that often are so famous because of the lyrical quality of them,
right.
How you then work that into the strict instrumentation of it.
Well, one of the best things about the Juno Cabaret Project is everybody's invited to improvise and improvise the arrangement on the spot. One thing we are pretty religious about is picking a good tempo and the right key for the singer so that it's within their range and doesn't make them strain too high or too low. And the right tempo – Heather and I were messing around with tempos a few times this month, and songs completely change when they're slowed down even a little bit. He's a Tramp, for example. We tried it two or three different tempos, and slower delivers something that's just a little more intense, a little more memorable than faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was a master at that, obviously.
Yeah. And some of these songs, that one in particular, live on for a reason. You know, people remember how they felt when they heard that song go by.
Yeah.
They may not remember everything about it, but they remember how they felt. And the tempo has a lot to do with it. And as Heather said, the singer was conversational. They were relaxed. They were delivering the song, their own interpretation of the song, in the same voice they used to speak. You know, they don't go up to a high singing voice or to a low singing voice.
Yeah, they don't put on a voice.
Right.
Yeah,
right. They use the voice they brought.
Yeah.
And it's so much more genuine and believable when they do that. And when the tempo is felt by everyone in the room, you know, the drummer and the singer and the bass and piano are all in the pocket, as they say.
So many of her songs I associate with movies. Of course, Lady and the Tramp, obviously. But Fever I associate so much with Night Shift, which was a movie in the 80s. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Trapped
in Lower Manhattan.
with a hearse.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
So feeding mayonnaise to tuna fish. Right. I remember that movie.
Yes. So, and you know, that comes in and it's such a key, amazing piece of music that when that comes in, she just was such a strong interpreter of music and songs. And I guess that's part of why she's part of this Great American Songbook series. Yeah.
And this series has been so much fun to work with these singers and to let the audience know why these songs live on. And it's amazing how quickly this has gone by. We started this project in 2015. In 2017, we started doing these concerts in the new APK Lecture Hall. And now,
like the one happening this weekend, Saturday at 2 p.m.
Doors at 1:30.
Exactly.
Doors at 1:30.
Well, and you forgot to mention that this will be our last concert for this season.
Yeah,
so
right.
we've been doing this since September, and it's been a really great season. We've had wonderful audiences, very appreciative audiences and crowds, and the great music
and the beautiful artists coming to sing.
Yeah.
Heather among them, their interpretations.
Thank you.
the nice thing about it, too, is I think all of us, the musicians and the singers and the audience, have learned that everyone who contributed to the Great American Songbook is linked some other way. I think you'll see in this concert this weekend some of the famous composers Peggy Lee worked with. They wrote the music and she wrote the lyrics. Sonny Burke was one of her mainstays. He wrote for the Disney movies and so on and some others. One of her first husbands, Dave Barbour. But later on, she wrote with Johnny Mandel. She wrote with Duke Ellington. I mean, these are some heavy hitters in the mm-hmm. Great American Songbook who have lasting hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you can team up with composers like that, and we found that in the whole series that's been happening.
There was this cross, pollination of what was going on, yeah.
And the power that record companies had and A&R executives, and for those of you who wonder what that means, it's artists and repertoire, which every record label has a list of the songs they want interpreted and the singers they want to have interpret them, and then all the commerce that goes behind it, all the promotion and mm-hmm. cross-promotion and packaging.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, and understanding the context on how all this music was being made. So you get, like he says, you get the contextual information about what the impact of the industry is on the artist in terms of creating this art. But then also Laura's going to give you a lot of information about the life and personal experiences of these artists and how they inform what they do artistically. And sometimes it's a string of bad marriages create some really beautiful music. Sometimes it's
Cole Porter's injury.
Racism. Sometimes it's prejudice. Sometimes it's poverty. Sometimes it's the movie industry. You name it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody I talk to who really enjoys this show says, I really, really love these little stories that I get to hear. Now it makes that music so much more meaningful to me because I have an understanding of what's going on behind the scenes. And
really cool thing. Really right. cool thing you guys have been doing.
Some other thing for me that's been very enriching is to have the narrator talk about what was happening in culture and in the country at that time. And people need to be reminded that a lot of these Great American Songbook songs were written with the backdrop of the Depression, wartime, peacetime, everything changing from Broadway to Hollywood, and how the singers and composers sort of went with that wave and how that worked out. I know Heather, when she lectured on the Harry Warren concert, that's a famous composer, how everything changed once composers were invited to write for movies versus the mm-hmm. New York stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's all happening starting tomorrow. It's happening at the APK State Library starting at 2. Doors open at 1:30. It's pay as you can as you go in. And it's, again, this really great idea behind linking beautiful music from the Great American Songbook with the stories, as you say, about the times they were made in and about the people who made the music. Sunday, May 26th at 6 p.m. It's over at the Mendenhall Valley Library. Again, pay as you can. And doors open for that at 5:30. Tom and Heather, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for
having
us on the
air,
Andy.
Have a great last of the Great American Songbook series. Congratulations on a fantastic and incredibly well-received series. I think you must be beaming with pride about how great these have been going.
We had no idea. We had no idea the response would be this overwhelming and that people would like it so well and want more. And we always want to leave them wanting more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, we have an open call show coming up on Sunday, June 2nd, 5:30 at Centennial Hall. This is a great place for people to come to another Pay As You Can show and hear some great local singers, some who have signed up for the very first time. In that concert, Luke Weld and I will be accompanists playing keyboard, bass, and piano. David Shakely Early is going to join us on drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then July 5th, and you may remember, you were the host of last year's block party where we had some Juno Cabaret singers.
Yeah,
this year
great.
On July 5th, we're going to have another block party.
Back.
Featuring four or five of Juno Cabaret's very best singers, and both Erica and Allison are very excited to see
very
you
cool.
at that block party.
Very cool. Very
Heather
cool.
will be there too, and she's going to host.
In town this
she's
going to
host it. So, and Alyssa Fisher will be there, and Margot.
All right,
it's going to be great.
That's awesome. You guys are staying busy. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Good way to be.
We'll have a great bunch of shows coming up.
Thank
Sounds
you very
great.
Much.
Thanks, Tom and Heather for coming in. Here's a little bit of Peggy Lee right now. Thank you.
What a dog. What a dog.